Chapter 2. 3 days earlier. Perhentian Kecil Island, Terengganu, Malaysia. July 2nd, 2017. 8:47 a.m. The beach was beautiful in the bright light of late morning. Powdery white sand hugged the arc of the island, transforming through low surf into turquoise crystal where it kissed the water. A widely spaced succession of small, brightly colored boats, mostly fiberglass utility models, and a few wooden longtails with equally colorful sashes draped around their prows, rocked gently in the shallow water. They were tethered to the beach by a sparse web of colored synthetic fiber ropes and rusty metal anchors. A lovely sprinkle of reflected colors danced on the edge of the turquoise like it was bleeding rainbows. Beyond the beach line rose a lush green island. An array of bold, brown wooden bungalows perched on the elevated rocks peeked out of the forest like curious children. There was a smattering of young people up and down the beach, mostly tanned European and quiet Southeast Asians in their 20s and 30s, lying on plastic beach chairs under colorful parasols or under the sun on the sand. Around them were the usual debris, seaweed, cigarettes, seashells, beer cans, and the charred remnants of a bonfire from the previous night's fire dance. Shigidi and Noma stood out on the ribbon of beach, and he was keenly aware of it. They were a pair of sable-skinned specimens, their bodies sitting still, side by side, in the sand as the white surf washed over their feet, never going beyond their knees. It had taken him a while to get used to the looks they drew in this part of the world, but Nama always seemed comfortable everywhere. She was leaning back on the sand in a red bikini, her torso propped up on her elbows. He was hugging his knees to his heavily muscled chest as he inhaled the salty smell of the water and watched it wash in and out like the coral bay itself was breathing. The roar of the surf licked at the brittle silence that had settled between them since they first camped out there at dawn. "She's been staring at you for 15 minutes," Noma whispered, her eyes flicking to her left to indicate the person in question. Shigidi swiveled his head, eyes hidden behind his sunglasses, to see a tall, toned and tattooed woman who looked to be in her late 30s, sitting on a pink beach towel and trying her best to pretend she wasn't looking at him. He grunted. "Maybe you should buy her a drink. Say hello. We could take her to our chalet later tonight and find out what her spirit tastes like." Noma said it casually, like she was asking him what he would like for breakfast, her voice still low but clear. "Maybe we should take it easy for a while," Shigidi said, remembering the blonde German man whose bold, adventurous spirit they'd just shared a few days ago, after a drawn-out seduction back in Hanoi on their way back from Ha Long Bay. "Maybe we should just leave the mortals alone for a while and enjoy each other's company, When they'd first started their partnership, Noma had indulged in human spirits sparingly, preferring to play games with potential prey for days or even weeks, and consuming them only when she needed to, or occasionally when she spotted someone being abusive or abrasive. She had her own arcane sense of justice and fairness, which she was still figuring out. But ever since they had incurred a debt to Olorun, chairman of the board of the Orisha Spirit Company, for saving their lives, Noma had changed. She'd become insatiable. Reckless. She didn't need the spirits, but she was persistent, almost aggressive, in consuming them. Like she was using the urgency of the hunt and the high of spirit consumption to hide something. "Maybe we shouldn't become boring," Noma retorted. Shigidi raised his head, surprised at her sudden sharpness. "Boring?" Out of the corner of his eye, he noted that the tattooed woman, whose stare had started all this, was gone. Her beach towel was still on the sand, its pink flamingo patterns now rumpled. She said, "Oh, you know what I mean. I am a succubus. You're a retired nightmare god. We are anything but normal. We need to keep our spirit particles crackling. Keep doing things that excite us. We already excite each other enough, Shikiti said. But deep down he wasn't so sure. He had hoped she would agree. But she just sat up on the sand, straightened her back, and flipped her long braided hair over her shoulders. So he added a hesitant, "Don't we?" "I'm just saying, I've been doing this much longer than you have, darling, and I know how easy it is to get bored when you have most of eternity to look forward to," she said. "And boredom can lead to bad decisions." He looked down at the white sand, feeling the gentle heat of the rising sun against the dark surface of his perfectly smooth, bald head, before responding. "Attachment isn't always bad. Besides, eternity with someone you love cannot be boring." "Sure," she agreed, "as long as you work to keep things interesting. And to be interesting, they have to keep changing, you know? I mean, think about the most enjoyable thing in the world, the thing you enjoy doing the most." His eyes drifted down her body, and she caught the motion, acknowledging it with a laugh. "Even sex. Imagine sex with the same person, forever. No matter how wonderful it is, how compatible you are as partners, even if neither of you age or change, eventually it will get boring. It may take a year or two or 10 or 100, perhaps even 1,000 if you're really creative, but it will, eventually, unless you find a way to make it new every time, so that there is always something to look forward to. That's all I'm saying. The humans offer us endless possibilities and permutations as we can play with them and then consume their spirits together. It's fun. It's exciting. It's interesting. Isn't it?" This was the third time she had made some variant of this argument to him. But he knew it was her way of avoiding the real question. Even though she'd been the one to seek out his companionship, the one who'd made the offer and drawn heavily on her power to make him her partner, she always held him at an emotional distance. First, she'd been preoccupied with teaching him the skills he needed to exist independently as a freelance spirit with her. Now she was diluting the time they spent together with seductions and consumptions. They were freelance spirit entities, free of the schedules and objectives and constraints that deities in the employ of the larger spirit companies had to deal with. But Noma was obsessively consuming a new spirit or two every other day, like she was a spirit company employee with unreasonably high quarterly or yearly targets to meet. "It's fun, yes, but there has to be time and space for a couple to just be a couple. We can be interesting together," he said. She rolled her eyes and waved her sharply manicured long and slender fingers at him. "This conversation is pointless, darling. Let's not make this into more than it is. Do you want that girl's spirit or not?" Shigidi clenched his jaw. He suspected that having revealed the depth of his love for her, he had exposed something raw in their partnership. Some deeper need or fear that she didn't want to confront. There was no other way to interpret her actions. She'd been avoiding his attempts to spend more time alone with her, obsessively focusing on the tasks they had to perform to pay off their debt to Oloru, or wildly throwing herself into feeding on spirits like they were about to go out of stock. He blurted out the question before he could stop himself. "Do you love me, Noma?" The line of her mouth tightened as she glared as though she was angry at him for asking the question. He held her gaze, despite a mounting fear that he'd overplayed his hand and that she'd say no just to regain control of the situation. The surf continued to lick at the new strained silence between them. And then they heard a deep, low laughter. They turned together to see where it was coming from. An old man in a flowing purple dashiki and matching trousers, who looked even more spectacularly out of place than they did, had replaced the tattooed woman on the pink flamingo pattern beach towel. He was laughing gently, deepening the crease lines that radiated from his eyes and bordered his broad nose and mouth. He watched them with a cool-eyed confidence, like he expected the world around him to bend to his will, as he toyed with a reddish-brown kola nut. His skin shone fiercely like polished iroko wood in the early sunlight, and the thick grey beard covering his chin was only a few inches longer than his perfectly groomed afro. Shigidi lowered his head out of habit and sighed again, deeper and more audibly now. Noma drew in a breath. The old man looked different from the last time they had seen him, but there was no doubt. They both knew exactly who had come looking for them. Olorun, Shigidi said as he looked up. We were having a private discussion. Olorun seemed to have drifted closer to them on the pink flamingo towel. Shigidi could have sworn that the tattooed woman wasn't nearly as close. I know. I can see that you two are having a little, couple spat. Abi lover's quarrel, hm? Olorun replied with a smile that constantly threatened to morph into a laugh. Could it be the age difference, hm? Dating older women is not easy, my boy. Or maybe vacations are not so good for your love life, eh? Too much free time. That's none of your business, Noma snapped. Her candor shocked Shigidi. He would never get used to the way she spoke to elder gods, though he supposed it made some sense. She had known most of them since they were little more than abstract concepts first made manifest. Shigidi, however, only came to know most of them long after, and some, like Olorun, only as his boss's boss. Still, the smile on the old god's face didn't falter. Rude, Olorun said, but true, very true indeed. So, lovebirds, eh? Let's talk about my business then, eh? I have a special urgent job for you. You have both done very good work so far in Singapore and Thailand. So, when this opportunity came up, I knew you were perfect for it. You have the ideal skill sets and profiles. This is not about your debt to me. You have almost completely paid that off. No, this is something completely different. In fact, if you take this on, you can consider that previous debt completely wiped out, in addition to receiving a substantial upfront payment and an even bigger bonus at the end. He paused to take a bite of cola. If the job actually gets done in time. I don't know if you want to enter another contract with you when we are already so close to ending the current one, Shigidi started. But we are not going to refuse an offer until we've heard what it is, Noma cut in. Olorun smiled. What I can tell you is that I need you to retrieve something for me, he said between quick bites of cola. Something I once gave to someone you might know. He turned to Shigidi, who was salivating with memories of the kola nut's bitter stimulation. It was part of a business deal long ago. It was stolen from its storage place, and I ignored that loss of intellectual property until now, since I was supposed to be retired and hands-off on spirit business matters. But now I'm back. Well, I need it back. What are you talking about? Shigidi asked, clueless. You know your friend Obalufon used to be human, don't you? Of course you do. Many of the minor orishas who worked at your grade level in the spirit company started their careers that way. He was the third Uni of Ife a long time ago. Back then they called him Obalufon Alayemore, and he did fairly decently until he was ousted by his uncle, Oramian. That one was a crafty bastard. Anyway, in his exile, Obalufon made an interesting appeal to me, not unlike the one you made when you were in trouble. He nodded at them. When some of Oramian's assassins cornered him, he asked me to save his life and to give him power to take back his throne. In return, he would unite the people and unify their belief system so that we, the Orishas, could grow stronger in their combined and concentrated faith. It was a good deal, so I gave him the power he requested, and it paid the spirit company huge dividends for a long time. At least until the Christians and the Muslims, Ati Bebelo, showed up and started aggressively seizing our market share.
And this power you gave him, someone took it? Norma asked.
Yes, in a manner of speaking.
Olorun spat a red mass of masticated cola onto the sand.
They stole it.
She raised an eyebrow and kicked a spray of powdery sand off her feet.
Care to elaborate?
No, I don't care to, actually,
he replied, still smiling.
Not yet.
All you need to know right now is that the power I gave Obalufon was contained in a physical form, a totem, which was buried with him when he died. A reasonable arrangement. I would have found and retrieved it eventually when I was ready. But it was dug up and taken away to a foreign land where, as you are well aware, I cannot freely operate thanks to current spirit trade regulations and their globalist bureaucratic nonsense. That is why I need you, my two independent agents, who owe me their lives.
Olorun drew out the last few words of the sentence and winked at them playfully, like it was all a game, not a matter of their very existence.
And why am I willing to forgive your existing debt and pay you with stock in the spirit company this time, guaranteeing you a virtually endless supply of spirits and even worship, if you want it?
Reading a guileful look in the old man's eye, Shikidi asked, "Is this going to be dangerous?"
Olorun smiled widely, showcasing unexpectedly perfect white teeth before he took another bite of his cola.
"Very much so. I am an old god returned to a position of power that I left long ago. Every move I make is dangerous. If you fail, you will almost certainly be destroyed or trapped forever."
He paused, broke what was left of the cola nut in his hand into three chunky pieces and placed them on the beach towel to form a triangle.
"But if you take the contract, it will be worth your while."
He spread his hands and shrugged before he brought them back together in front of him and flicked his right hand over his left like he was spraying dollars on dancers at an owambe.
"Worth more even than stock in the company. If you do this for me, I will end your exile and allow you to return to Yoruba land under my protection, despite the objections of your former boss."
Shigidi and Noma looked at each other, unsure exactly what the other was thinking, but knowing that neither of them would miss an opportunity at vengeance against the Orisha of fire and lightning. Shongo, the thunder god, had tried to kill them both and would probably try to do so again. Shigidi liked the way Noma was looking at him, with a glint of excitement. He suspected that she had already decided to do it, but was waiting for him to show his hand. Perhaps the danger and unpredictability of a big risk like this would satisfy her instinct for adventure, and he wanted to give her that. Perhaps, once it was done, she'd be normal again, and at least they would do this together. Shigidi nodded.
Noma smiled. "We'll do it."
"Very good. Then be in London by noon tomorrow."
He stood up and walked away, leaving no footprints in the sand. When he reached them, he took Shigidi's hand and placed a finger into his palm. A crackling of bright white spirit particles emptied where he touched the skin, and they rearranged themselves into text that spelled out a number and an address, as if he'd been tattooed with pure light. When he was done, Olorun turned to Noma.
"You know, Succubus, I have had my eye on you ever since you started to operate around Lagos. I've always admired your ability to get what you want, even if, as I've told you before, I find your methods distasteful. But I will admit, I'm looking forward to this."
Thanks, she cocked her head. "But I don't think you're in a position to judge my methods or my life, old-timer. How many times do I need to tell you I am what I am. I am true to my nature. Get over it.
Of course, no vex.
He put up his hands in mock surrender. We are all what we are.
See you in London.
And then he was gone, like he had evaporated into nothing, leaving only three pieces of half-eaten kola nut on the beach towel and a faint metallic smell like burning wires in the salty air.